It's Jessie. If you're hearing this, that means my limited edition capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now. In select stores and at joefresh.com, I designed matching pieces for the entire family in a really fun, bold checkerboard print, including a baby romper, toddler and kids dress, a kids t-shirt and short set, a shirt for men, and the cutest women's linen short set that you will live in all summer long. Every piece is under $35, and warning, you will get compliments wherever you go. Shop it now before it's gone. This week on Phone a Friend, I say yes and to Maddie Matheson being iconic at the Emmys, to the Scandinavian sleep method saving my marriage, to Ariana Grande and all the that she rides, and to Chris Kirkpatrick of Trolls fame. Just kidding, I hate myself, of NSYNC.
I was the guy with the personality. Oh, well, you know, he's got a great personality, honey.
Sorry to steal this from Justin Timberlake, but this episode is Jessie Cruikshank featuring NSYNC. Enjoy.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jessie Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Phone a Friend. I'm Jessie Cruikshank, back with another mid-season banger. The network said, you know what, Jessie, just go dark between season one and two, and then you'll just come back in February or March, and it'll be fine. And I said, no. You want me to just leave my phonies hanging with nothing to live for? You want me to just let dust gather on the feed for weeks? I shan't. I shall not. Recording this podcast, truly, I know I've said this before, but like connecting with you, listening to your voicemails, reading your DMs, that's the best part of my week. And so I am coming to you unfiltered, unproduced, and uncensored until season two launches in a matter of weeks. Today, I felt that we had to revisit my conversation with Chris Kirkpatrick, recorded before the NSYNC reunion happened at the VMAs. So before the elder millennials started to riot in the streets for a tour, right? And by the way, may I just say, like, why did the rioting stop? That was just a feverish, riotous moment after the VMAs, and it's just dissipated. Well, I would like you to consider this a rallying cry, okay? Let's get the old convoy back together and use our freight trucks to block the entrance to Joey Fatone's Fat Ones hot dog chain, wherever that is, okay? Drive your trucks up to a mall in Missouri, I don't know. Whatever we have to do, I want boots on the ground, people. The fight for an NSYNC reunion tour rages on. And this conversation with Chris Kirkpatrick lives on today. Because my children are currently very into Trolls. The new Trolls Band Together soundtrack has been playing nonstop at my house right now. Also because it was a peak moment for me, a peak moment of the pod, of last year, and let's be honest, of my life as a whole. So I hope you enjoy that. It's coming up. And just so you don't think I'm stuck in the year 2002, because why would you think that other than every episode leading up to this very moment? You should know that I have been listening to Yes And, the new Ariana Grande single, for the past week. Thank you so much. Thank you. Non-stop. And by Ariana Grande single, I do mean Madonna song. It is a straight-up Madonna song sung by Ariana Grande. Like, there's even, like, the Vogue-style spoken word section in this song. It's staggering. Ariana also stole the video almost frame by frame from Paula Abdul's Cold Hearted video. And by stole, I mean was inspired by. That's what she said. Paula said she was honored. And I don't know. I might have been pissed. Because there is inspiration, and then there is, like, grand theft. And this one, it rides the line. It rides the line. Speaking of riding, the song is controversial because it's all about Ariana Grande clapping back at the haters for judging her recent relationship drama. And she says, quote, "Why do you care so much whose dick I ride?
Your business is yours, the mine is mine. Why do you care so much whose dick I ride? Why
do you care so much whose dick I ride? Why?"
So emphatic with it, Ari. First of all, I would rather not be forced to think about SpongeBob's dick. Thank you very much. But I will also take responsibility for talking about it when the whole thing happened. Because you know I've mentioned it a time or two on the pod. I think, you know, the reason so many people talked about it is because she broke up a marriage. Like, they did. I'm not just going to blame the woman. They did together. They blindsided his wife, who had his new baby at the time. She came out and talked about how fucked up it was. And I don't know. I guess in these situations, I tend to side with the new mom who was cheated on by a pop star. Sorry. I just think, like, Ari, you can do whatever you want in your own life. But when you destroy a family, it's harder to put on a mini skirt and be like, your business is yours and mine is mine. You know what I mean? But the song is a banger, so all is forgiven, okay? I'll say that shit with my chest. Okay, before I move on to my one thing, I have an important phone-a-friend update.
Phony updates!
In one of our last episodes of the year, it was called Old Tweets and Separate Sheets. I learned about the Scandinavian sleep method. Okay, it blew up on TikTok with claims it could save your marriage. It is essentially when you and your partner sleep with two separate duvets instead of one shared duvet. So after I talked about it on this podcast, we got an influx of messages from you phonies. Sleeping arrangements really speak to you, apparently. This is one of the messages I received. So let's quickly check my voicemail.
Check your voicemail.
I am calling from Halifax, Nova Scotia. My name is Kayla, and I had no idea I was on the cutting edge of a TikTok trend about the Scandinavian sleep method. I have been practicing this super trendy method, apparently, for about 10 years, as I cannot stand sharing a blanket with my spouse. We would absolutely be divorced. I couldn't pry the blankets out of his cold sleep hand, and I just got fed up with it. So we have a king size bed, two queen duvets, and I will absolutely never go back. If we go to an Airbnb, if we spend a night out, you better believe I am bringing a fucking blanket with me. You guys got to try it. It's a game changer. I tell you, I didn't know we were so TikTok trendy, but alas, here we are. Have a great night. Love the podcast.
Kayla from Halifax, thank you for your message. You are so hot on TikTok. And you know who else is? As of a week ago, Evan and I. So we promised to try it weeks ago, in last year, okay? 2023, we promised we would try it. We have kept you in suspense for months, and now I'm finally dragging my husband back into the studio to give an official review. Ev? Welcome back, Evan, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Wait a second. You said everyone. I just want you to
know— Hello, phonies.
Okay.
I've learned the terminology. My apologies.
I got so many messages from angry listeners because you called them. Are you just going to casually sip your tea? Do you want everyone to just—
Gotta get right.
Hear your sipping sounds on the—
Sorry, I'm not well. Let's keep going.
Last week you called everybody Jesse's friends, which was alarming to a lot of my listeners because we do have a name. It's phonies. They are, of course, my friends, as you know, but we also call them phonies. Were you aware of that?
It won't happen again.
Okay.
But it's not inaccurate, right? These are your people. These are your friends.
These are my friends.
All right.
I feel a closeness to them in the same way that I feel a closeness to you.
All right.
Okay, great. Did you want to take another sip of that tea or should we? You know what people love, Evan?
On they podcasts, just like they like beverage.
They like to hear beverage slow noises. Beverage sipping from a man they're not very familiar
Sorry.
With.
Sorry. Yeah. God. Fumbling it again.
Here we go. So last week, I want to say like a week and a half ago, we stole our son's twin duvets, leaving them to shiver in nothing but a blanket so that we could try the Scandinavian sleep method. Thoughts, feelings, reactions.
Huge success.
Huge
yeah.
success.
I was into it when you pitched the idea.
Because as we discussed previously, you know, anytime I get up to go to the bathroom, which is frequently, or roll over, or a kid comes in the bed, like you feel everything when you share one duvet.
I love you and I love being married to you. And I'm also an advocate for, you know, the idea of separate bedrooms eventually, which I know is very controversial.
Yes.
But so that was kind of in that bucket and it sounded great.
Uh-huh. And so how's it been going?
It's been great.
What are the biggest differences?
I mean, it really is, you have way less disturbance from your partner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person with sleep issues. I've had sleep issues my whole life. I'm not a good sleeper and I have three kids. So I'm running a hardcore about 6 year sleep deficit here.
Right, yeah.
So for you to get up 20 to 35 times in the night to go to the bathroom.
Okay, well, we don't have to.
It's really difficult.
Numbers.
And so this is, sometimes you go, I don't get up. Sometimes I'll go to bed before you. You'll get in bed. I don't even know that you got in bed. And
yes.
Like The other night when I went
to my Emmy viewing party, I came home late. You were already sleeping. You didn't even feel me get in the bed.
And that would not have happened if it was a single duvet.
A single duvet.
Yeah.
The other thing is the temperature control.
Definitely helps.
I don't feel your heat. You don't feel my sweaty body.
And I would say that you still, though, do feel like you're sleeping next to someone and like there's a closeness. You're in the same
right.
bed. You're close. I can feel your presence,
mm-hmm.
but not your breath or your heat, which is awesome.
It's amazing. The other thing is that our boys are really going through a like, I have a sore leg. I had a nightmare phase and coming into our bed. And 9 times out of 10, they go to dad.
10 times out of 10.
Okay, 10 times out of 10, they go
which
to
is
dad.
Such
which is amazing for me.
Bullshit.
It's really absolutely one of the greatest turns of events. And now that I have my own little duvet, when they go to you, sometimes I don't even feel them coming into the bed.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank
for
you.
You
so much. The one downside I would say is that you have to have two duvets. So like it doesn't look as cute. You have to wash and
put on. How does it work when you make the bed? Is it hard
duvets.
For you to make the bed in the morning? When you make the bed, all the times that you make the bed?
It's
is it hard aesthetically to get it nice?
Yeah. To get it nice
Sorry
and
about
flat.
That.
Yeah,
tough,
no,
tough.
I don't make the bed.
It's really great. I advocate for it. I think it's a good, you know what? When you pitched it, I thought, oh, this is actually like a gateway drug to separate bedrooms.
Mm-hmm,
this is
no.
great. It's gone the other way.
Oh!
Yeah, I think this might save the single bedroom.
Save us from sleep divorce.
Save us from sleep divorce.
Wow.
This is like sleep therapy. You know, it's bringing me back. I'm like, I could do this. This is workable.
Would you recommend this to friends, family, loved ones?
Yes. Although I will say there, in my opinion, there is a little bit of a, you kind of got to have a big bed. Definitely highly recommend. 2 thumbs up, 5 stars. You're certified fresh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know what? Last week you did also casually mention that my Jesse's friends may not know so much about sports. So I'll just put this into like a sportsy term for you. You would say the Scandinavian sleep method, just duvet it.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say, they're going to say like, was a total home run.
Or, no better.
This is so no much
better.
Worse.
So much better.
I didn't think that it was so much worse God. Than what I thought was coming.
Okay, you're dismissed to go sip your tea in peace. Okay. Oh, this is why we need separate duvets.
All right.
Thank you, Evan.
Goodbye, phony people.
Phonies. It's phonies, Evan, everybody. Just duvet it. You don't get to be the number one comedy podcast just out of nowhere, you know? Okay, it's time for me to weigh in on just one thing that happened in pop culture this week, not including the Ariana Grande single I wedged in up top, because how could I possibly keep it to one thing? But here it is, that one thing.
That one thing.
My one thing is the Emmys, because I'd like to make an announcement. Award season is back. It went away hard in 2020 when lives were being lost and rights were being stripped and celebrating a supporting actor in a made-for-TV miniseries just didn't feel quite right, you know? It still feels frivolous, but it is back. I know it's back because this week, I, as I just mentioned with Evan, was invited to an Emmys watch party. Like, let's all get together and watch the Emmys. I have not sat down with friends to watch an award show in, like, honestly, over a decade. Definitely before I had kids. I mean, I've barely watched anything since I had kids, but I was invited by my friend Monique, who I love, who does not have kids, obviously, because if you have kids, you're not inviting anyone to come over and watch something on a Monday night that ends after 8. But Monique did. And I ditched the kids and I went, and we watched the whole show with a couple of girls, and we had the best time. And I just remember, like, oh yeah, award shows are fun. And in fairness, I had not seen most of the shows that were getting awarded, okay? People were like, you know, really diving into the specifics of why this penultimate episode of Succession was worthy. And I was like, Succession, is that something I should watch? I'll get around to it in about a year. Full disclosure, I just started Spare, the Prince Harry memoir, like 2 days ago. So I'm approximately 1 year behind in pop culture and like 8 in fashion. But that's what happens, right, moms? So we had a great time. And I'll say this, like the Emmys were fine. The show was whatevs. It was fine. Anthony Anderson, who is like a safe, non-controversial choice, hosted the show in a safe, non-controversial way. Not nearly as good as Chelsea Handler at the Critics' Choice Award, which, by the way, I just want to say, after her ex, Joe Coy, bombed at the Golden Globes, which we discussed, this just had to have felt like the ultimate post-breakup revenge. You know, it's like, who needs a revenge body when you can have a revenge awards show monologue? I've said it before. I'll say it again on this podcast. Trust women. Women just do things better. Okay, so the Emmys had a few great moments. One was Niecy Nash's speech because she is a woman. And she understands that when you have like 25 seconds to get up in front of an amazing group of people on national television to give a speech, you give a damn speech. Listen to this.
And you know who I want to thank? I want to thank me. For believing in me. And doing what they said I could not do. And I want to say to myself in front of all you beautiful people, go on, girl, with your bad self. You did that.
She got a standing ovation. I'm standing right now. I think we should all take a moment right now to thank ourselves for getting to the place we are doing whatever the hell we are doing right now. We did that. We did it. Okay? I got 2 separate duvets on my king bed. I did that. There were also some, like, amazing Emmy firsts. Trevor Noah became the first Black talk show host to win in his category. You had Ali Wong. Who's, like, kissing Bill Hader at every award show. I'm, like, obsessed with it. She was the first Asian performer to win in her category. Two Black women won in the actress categories. And it was on MLK Day, so it felt, like, genuinely celebratory and historic. But for me personally, the cherry on top was seeing my friend Maddie Matheson, who I have known for many, many years. Yeah, and like you probably know, if you're Canadian, you probably know Maddie. He's like the big, loud Canadian chef who is somehow in The Bear and somehow steals every scene he is in. And somehow he gave the final thank you speech of the night. You know The Bear has been winning at so many award shows, like back to back to back. They won the night before the Critics' Choice Awards. By the time they got to the Emmys, they were like, wouldn't it be funny to have Maddie give our acceptance speech? And so he did. When The Bear won the final award of the most prestigious celebration of television, Maddie Matheson came up on stage and gave the damn speech. And if you missed it, allow me to bless you.
I just love restaurants so much. The good, the bad, it's rough. We're all broken inside, and every single day we got to show up and cook and make people feel good by eating something and sitting at a table. And it's really beautiful. And all of us here get to make a show together, and we get to make people feel good or filled with anxiety or triggered, seems. But this is really amazing. It's beautiful. We shoot on a sound stage. It's really cool. I've never been on one before. I've never acted before. I love all these people so much. I love my family. Trishy and Mac and Rizzo and Ozzy. I'll say my kids' names.
Okay, no. We want to thank.
I want to thank FX.
Yeah, we want to thank FX.
FX is tight.
And Dizzy, thank you so much.
The mouse.
I want to give a special shout out to our guy John Solberg, our warrior.
Solberg.
Thank you so much, man.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Yo, restaurants forever!
Restaurants forever! I'm sorry. If Niecy Nash was poised and rehearsed and inspirational, Maddie was the opposite of that. And I loved every second. And that's why he's so great on The Bear, because he's like a real person who you would actually see in that restaurant environment. And I think it's why he was even better on the Emmy stage, because he is a real person who you would never see in that environment. Like, a person like Maddie Matheson has literally never been allowed into a Hollywood awards show, let alone allowed to give the final speech. It was truly one of the greatest moments I had ever seen. And after that, Anthony Anderson had to, like, wrap it all up and throw to the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech. It was a hard turn. But, like, such an iconic moment in Canadian history, if I may declare, right here on the Phone a Friend podcast. A heritage moment.
A Phone a Friend heritage moment.
Maddie, I love you. The final thing I want to say about the Emmys and award season in general is I want to shout out the normal wives. Do you know how hard it must be to be a regular lady, a mom with a normal job, living your normal life, and then your actor husband is like, get a dress, we're going to the Emmys, and suddenly you're forced to, like, wear a gown and sit next to Jessica Chastain and J-Lo and Emma Stone and celebrities who are beautiful professionally, okay? These women wear gowns for a living. They eat Ozempic for breakfast. Their entire year is geared towards looking amazing that night. And as viewers, our eyes are so trained to take in this abnormal standard of beauty at these award shows that when they pan to somebody's normal wife, it's like, ah, who's a monster? Oh, it's a normal human woman. So shout out to the many gorgeous, normal human women, normal wives at the Emmys, who were there looking their best, looking amazing, having an amazing time, and reminding us all that not everyone is Margot Robbie. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Award season is back! Restaurants forever!
Yo, restaurants forever!
after the break. Remember when Chris Kirkpatrick told me he would probably never hook up with me? No, I do. I've replayed it in my mind ever since he said it, and I'm replaying it for you next.
Commercial break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
We're back. And I don't think there was another guest from last season who did as much in the months following our phone call as this particular member of NSYNC. So we have no choice but to phone a friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
I am phoning Chris Kirkpatrick. This phone call happened before NSYNC reunited at the VMAs and dropped their first single in 20 years and ignited rumors of a reunion tour. And I did ask him if they would ever get back together. So please, when you listen back to this, decide for yourself whether he knew it was going to happen or not. Because I don't think he knew it was going to happen. Also, see if you can do better than we did playing Name That Boy Band Tune, because my performance in this game still haunts me to this day. Enjoy.
Hello?
Hello, Chris Kirkpatrick!
I like it when people use my whole name.
Because that's how I know you. You're forever and always Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, it's crazy when my son does it. Chris Kirkpatrick, I'm hungry.
You're a five-year-old, yeah. Chris Kirkpatrick. My kids can't pronounce my last name. They're like Jesse Kirkschmuggs. They can't do it.
Actually, he did my friend's. Back in the day, used to always call me CK.
Oh.
My wife was like, isn't that strange? I'm like, I think it's kind of cool.
No, I think that's cute. I like it.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you, whatever feeling you used to make me feel in my loins as a teen, I'm feeling it now, CK. It's all come rushing back. I have feeling down there for the first time in years.
Something's moving. It's still working.
It's still working. And I am about to unleash all of the burning questions I have had pent up inside of my body and my loins for 28 years. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, before we begin, I really have to get something uncomfortable out of the way.
That wasn't the uncomfortable part?
No, that's just how I say hello, Chris.
Oh, perfect.
The uncomfortable part is that I am a Backstreet Boys fan.
That's not uncomfortable.
I'm a Backstreet Boy fan through and through. But that doesn't mean I didn't skip school on March 21st, 2000 to take the bus to the HMV downtown to get the No Strings Attached album, okay? I know your favorite food is pizza and your favorite color is silver. I had that Tiger Beat spread on my wall. So for the next 30 minutes, I'm all NSYNC. Does that
work
for you?
Well, if it helps at all, I'm a Backstreet Boys fan too, so...
Wait, can we get into that right now? Was there ever any beef between you guys? Like back then, was there a healthy amount of competition?
Not really. I mean, for us, it was, we were in competition with ourselves. You know, we always looked at just trying to be better, trying to be better than the last show, trying to have a better record than the last record. You know, every single thing we did was, you know, just try to be better than we were before. With them, I mean, you have to understand that when we started, they were already put together. And, you know, through Lou and all this stuff, then they started doing like small high school shows and we were trying to record songs. And then they went overseas and we started doing the small shows. So we were always just a little behind them. And that was evident in Lou Pearlman's people and, you know, all that stuff. They definitely let us know that the Backstreet Boys were their darlings and we were the redheaded stepchild that was trying to take their spotlight. So it had kind of been shoved in our faces pretty much our whole entire career. So we, you know, it never bothered us. It's
wow.
We appreciate them, but you know, it is what it is.
I mean, can I just say, as a redhead, that is a derogatory term to my people. So just
cool. Am I canceled?
officially, right now, right. This will be your last public interview.
Who would have thought it was calling myself a redheaded stepchild would get me canceled?
You can't say anything these days.
Oh, I could be way worse.
Please, this is the place to be way worse. There must have been one, like, did one Backstreet Boy kind of piss you off? There must have been one that you were like, eh, at the time.
No, well, there was, I mean, I went to school with Howie. Howie and I knew each other from the get. I mean, I knew Howie before I knew any of the guys in my band. He knew me before I knew the guys in his band. And so we went to school together. And
this is hot goss. Did he have like a moist six pack when you were in school together?
I don't think we called them six packs, nor did we refer to them as moist.
Fair.
But yeah, he was, you know, he was a real quiet kid. I was loud and obnoxious. And you know, I remember when he was talking about this Backstreet Boys thing, I was like, you know, you guys kind of look foolish in what you're wearing and the leather jackets. I'm like, are you guys trying to be hard or something? Like, I don't get it. And, but, you know, and he got his band and I got my band and we still remain great friends. And to this day, I will tell you, he is one of the sweetest human beings on the planet. Like, really and truly of every band, just an honestly, honestly great, great guy.
Oh, that's so good to know, Chris, because I was the only person with the Howie pencil case, okay? Everyone was going Nick, I went Howie every time.
Wait, he had a pencil case?
They all had a pencil case.
Oh,
little
man.
Little eraser, little pencil.
I'm taking my Brian pencil case back then. I didn't know if he had one.
No, you got to exchange that for a Howie. There are probably many left on the shelf. Would you say you were the bad boy, Chris? Like, was there ever a conversation where Lou Pearlman said, you're the bad boy, Justin's the heartthrob, Lance is the shy one, Joey's the older brother, JC's the cute one?
It's kind of strange because they did try to put labels on us, but in no way was I anywhere near a bad boy. I mean, other than tattoos or, you know, occasional or a lot of drinking and having fun in clubs and, you know, that, but I mean, we all kind of did that. All five of the guys, there's things about me and Joey that are exactly alike. There's things about me and JC, JC and Joey, Justin and Lance. You know, we all have similarities with each other. And it's hard to kind of say, oh, he's the bad boy or, you know, I guess I just took my name out of the running of the heartthrob right away, just because, you know, I didn't feel like I wanted to live up to that. And, you know, it was hard being as good looking as I was. And,
right.
And
yeah, absolutely.
Passing
it's a
the torch, passing
burden,
the torch
yeah.
of the heartthrob. Mm-hmm. But I figured, mm-hmm. you know, what the heck? I can do it.
Oh, yeah. You did charity work there by giving that to Justin.
I figured.
Yeah. Before we dive all the way into the drinking and the partying and everything, Lou Pearlman, like, oh my God, I have questions. I want to prove my worth to you, Chris, because I know people say to you all the time, like, oh, I love boy bands. But no, I love boy bands. I am so confident in my knowledge of the genre that I want to challenge you to a rousing game of name that boy band tune.
Ooh, okay.
Here's how it works. So my producer, Jason, has selected a variety of boy band songs. I am hearing these for the first time, just like you, I promise. He's going to play the beginning of the song. If you know what it is, shout out the song title and band name. The person who guesses the most songs the fastest wins the game. Are you ready?
I'm going to lose.
Wait,
I'm probably not going to name some of our songs, which is the scary part.
Yeah, that would be bad. Well, then I'm feeling really confident. And can I just say, Chris Kirkpatrick, you can get your ass kicked.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, this is Backstreet Boys.
I'll never break your heart. Backstreet Boys, I'll never break your heart. Woo!
Correct.
Oh, Chris, you got to get in
good.
There. Okay, thank
good.
You.
I don't want to make a mistake, though. I don't want to say, oh, yeah, it was us, and it's Backstreet.
Yeah, okay, you gotta be extra careful. All right, keep going, Jace. Here we go. I was hanging
with the fellas, saw you. Oh, that's us.
What's the song
title? It makes
title?
Me ill.
It makes me ill. Oh, yes. Yes, Chris. See? You got it.
All right, okay. I'll get ours. That's good.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Here we go. Next song.
98 degrees, esta noche. Una noche.
Seriously? Oh my God! Chris, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. You even knew the Spanish language.
That's
all right,
true.
Next. Oh, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
O-Town,
nothing at all. All or nothing. Did we tie on that one? Yes. Nothing at all. That was a collab between us, Chris. Good job.
That was a collab. I'll take it. I'm on tour with them, so I should get that one.
I know you are.
I better get that one right.
Yeah, you better. Okay, next.
That's us. That's,
He doesn't know what it is.
I remember the name of the song.
Stop it. No.
Yeah.
Do you seriously not remember the name?
I know that's us. I know that's us.
But you really don't remember the name of the song?
That's, see, now I keep getting, it makes me ill in there. That was, yep, I don't know. I give up.
Jason, what is it?
Oh, See Right Through You. Yeah, that was a huge hit that we did that we played millions and millions of times. So that doesn't count.
Okay, that doesn't count. We'll cut that out. We're not, but we'll cut. Okay. Okay, keep it going, Jace. I'm feeling confident.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
Oh. My God, I don't know. I'm wishing on falling stars. No, I don't even know this voice. Do you?
Is that LFO? Maybe? Wish for you on a falling star. Anyway, where you are, do I ever cross my mind in warm sunshine? She's like the girl on TV or the girl.
Yes! Oh my God, Chris. They're on your tour too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like you're beating me. Okay.
Well, I better.
Next one, Jason. It's the way you. I gotta
Backstreet.
Be you, Backstreet Boys. It's gotta be you. All the way. Okay.
Woo! I know it was Backstreet. That's all I could tell you.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So it's 5-3. Chris, you're winning. I have a chance to come back, though. Here we go. What? Here we go. Oh. No idea. Any idea?
No, it's probably somebody is like 3T or somebody like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Jace, I don't know.
Go out. Five.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I couldn't even identify them after hearing the song, and you did,
abs,
so I'll give you that.
Abs. I remember there was a kid named Abs in the band.
His actual name is Abs?
Yeah, I'm sure his mom gave him the name of Abs when he was born.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Well, my I was thinking of naming my child Bicep, but
yeah.
I didn't go that way. Okay,
it's
one
weird,
more, Jace.
They named Joey and I Ab, which I haven't figured out yet what that means.
That's your nickname. All right, this is the final song. Hit us, Jason. Ooh, it's kind of crazy. Ooh, it's kind of crazy. If you want my Soul Decision. Ooh, it's kind of crazy. Do you know Soul Decision, Chris?
Yeah, I know Soul Decision.
They're Canadian. What that was a Canadian heritage moment,
yeah,
and you were a part of
it. You didn't throw the Moffats in there while we were at it then, too?
Oh, Well, wow. Did you just name check the Moffats?
That's right. I love the Moffats. And
who
Hanson?
Who doesn't? And Hanson. I mean, we could play this game all day. Chris, yeah. Congratulations. Chris Kirkpatrick, winner of Name That Boy Band 2.
I don't know if I get the win, though, seeing as how I didn't know the name of our own song. That's kind of...
Yeah,
I think that cancels it out, and maybe it's a tie.
It does. Yeah, no, that's just... Well, I hope that you can find some joy through the shame to enjoy this moment. And I can just say to you, Chris Kirkpatrick, I got my ass kicked.
It's a backhanded win.
Uh-huh. Can I just ask you about that? Because this is just a side note. But being name-checked in one of Eminem's biggest singles has to be one of your greatest life accomplishments.
Chris Kirkpatrick, you can get your ass kicked.
That, I mean, now it definitely is. At the time, I didn't understand. I was like, wait, do I have beef now? Like, how does this work? I didn't, you know, how does beef work? Like, what do I have to come out with a power ballad with Eminem's name in the song?
Or, right.
You know, no, that was kind of, I mean, I'm sure he did it maybe out of anger or whatever, but in the end, it's absolutely one of the most amazing things. That's like up there with being on The Simpsons and all that stuff. It's like, I'm in an Eminem song. And of course, when people think they're funny and want to play it, doesn't bother me.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like better than a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
While we are on the subject of bangers, we now know what's your least favorite NSYNC song. It's the one you couldn't identify in the game.
For
but
sure.
What is your favorite NSYNC song?
I mean, I really liked Pop a lot. I liked It's Gonna Be Me. Mm. I liked Girlfriend. Mm. I liked I think I Want You Back was the very first song we ever did over in Sweden. And that was with Dennis Pop. So, I mean, a lot of the songs have different meanings, you know, for each one of us and especially for me. But as just listening straight up to a song and saying, you know, I really like this one, definitely the up-tempo ones were fun.
Mm. Mm. Before we go back to that time, I just want to, for anyone listening thinking like, oh my God, Chris Kirkpatrick, like what's he been up to? I want to just fill them in a lot. Like in the last 20 years, you have... started a charitable foundation, written and produced music, managed artists, started a clothing line, started a Christmas special. You've done voice acting, movie acting. You were on Celebrity Big Brother, The Masked Singer, MTV Cribs. You performed at Coachella. You're sitting in front of two Moon Men statues. You're touring. You're a husband. You're a dad. You're my phone a friend. Like, you haven't stopped, Chris.
You know what? I think of all those, though, my favorite is the family part and being a dad and getting to have... getting to do that type of thing, getting to wake up in the morning and go, oh, well, I'm flying out to be on Big Brother for a couple weeks or Masked Singer or, you know, do this tour where I get to go for a weekend and then come home and spend the week with my family and having my little five-year-old not quite understand it, but do things. This weekend, we did a show in Orlando, Joey and I did.
Uh-huh.
And at the very end, he came up and jumped up in my arms for bye, bye, bye. And
you
know, just to have him like get to be around it and kind of see. I don't know if he really understands because I think he thinks most dads get to do fun things like that. And I'm sure in different ways it is. But, you know, it's odd for him if people come up or stop me or want a picture. And he actually said to me the other day when somebody was taking a picture, he was like, hey, Dad, I'm jealous. And I was like, really? Why? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know what that means. But I was like, well, I mean, it looks kind of like that's what it is. But
wow. Because he's going to grow up one day and realize that, no, most dads are accountants. Like, your dad is a global pop superstar. You never sit him down and make him, like, force him to watch YouTube videos of yourself?
No. No, definitely not. You know, we did have a time, I think it was last year, when he really started to get into some of the songs. He was like, Dad, I love all the songs you guys did. And I started playing more of the songs that I know he hadn't heard. And he's like, oh, I really like this one. I really like this one. And then I started driving myself crazy and I sing the beginning of that one. And he goes, no, not this one, not this one. And I'm like, what? He goes, no, not the one with the girl singing on it.
No.
And I was like, okay.
Wow.
That's me.
Do you know
that's
I
fine.
Listened to Drive Myself Crazy today in anticipation of this conversation? And I instantly was like, ooh, that's Chris on the lead vocal.
Yeah, my little one thing I get to do.
Please. You were the founding member of the damn group. So when NSYNC went their separate ways after all this, you know, years of intense touring and thrusting, did any part of you think, okay, you know, I did that and now I'm just going to go sit on a pile of money and live a normal life?
No, I think if anything, it was kind of like confusing. It was really difficult to go from being a poor kid in a trailer park to starting a band, to getting to be in this huge band, and then the band just stopping and not understanding like a next step or where to go or, you know, what my next move should be, because, you know, I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do. So that's kind of where a lot of that partying and things got that I got into happened. And they weren't, it wasn't a great thing, but it was a process of me learning and growing up and figuring out life.
Because that's so interesting. But the NSYNC never officially broke up, right? That you went on this temporary hiatus, quote unquote, 21 years ago, never got back together. Like, and did you think that that was it at the time?
I think it's kind of like college, you know. It's like you start college and you're like, oh, I'm going to take a semester off and I'm not going to quit college. I'm just going to take a semester off. And then 10 years later, you're doing something completely different. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, college. I totally was in college for a while.
Right.
So, you know, I'd say, you know, it's one of those things that it's not that we knew it was going to happen, but I think there were a lot of priorities and a lot of different places that weren't the band. And that's kind of what just made us stop.
Oh, really? It wasn't that Justin went solo and like that kind of did a thing? It wasn't that?
Nope. It was, we had everybody else. Everybody had different things they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they went and did them. And in the end, it was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to keep doing this. Or, you know, because I mean, I went out, I made a record. I started producing. I started doing other stuff, obviously not as successful as Justin's or JC's record, but you know, it was just, I still loved to write. I still loved music. And, and in the end, you know, Justin ended up having a very successful career. JC had a great record and was doing that. And he started doing production and Joey started doing TV shows here and there. And Lance was going to space. So,
yes, he was. Yeah. He was. And as the founding member of NSYNC, if it wasn't for you, Lance would never have almost gone to space. So I hope that you take credit for that.
Well, that's a crazy thing to think about and take credit for.
Yeah,
you almost going to space. You're welcome.
You're welcome. So when you are in, I'm going to say there was a time where NSYNC, you were the most famous people on the planet. You are the biggest band in the world. And as the band gets bigger, so does your love of accessories, Chris. You never met an accoutrement you did not put on your head and or body. You stayed dripping in sauce from head to toe. So right now I want to challenge you to a round of rapid fire regrets. So I'm going to name a garment, a hairstyle, a piece of orthodontics.
I'm already out because I lost you on accoutrement.
Accoutrement?
Yeah, whatever.
Accoutrements. It's a really fancy way of saying, you know, shit that you put on your head and face. Oh. So you can say regret it or don't regret it. And if you don't regret any of it, hey, just say that. Okay. Overalls.
Overalls, that's a little bit of a regret. But not that much. I mean, they're very freeing. You know, who doesn't want to have their top attached to their pants?
Oh, very freeing. That's a beautiful statement.
It's like a romper, right? Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Like a dude romper.
Yeah, it's just free and loose. Vest with no shirt underneath.
All right, that I definitely regret. That's one of those when it's cold outside, but only right in the middle type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, arms are freeing.
No,
you got to wear shorts and a sleeveless vest out in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
My core is great. My limbs, a little chilly.
Goggles.
Goggles I don't regret. Goggles were fun. Goggles were I think, I mean, there was a time where we were wearing snow boots, goggles, like we had the whole kit and caboodle on that we thought was like neat. And it was Europe, you know, well, we started in Europe and that's kind of where most of that stuff took shape and took hold is when we were coming from Europe. You know, I think the visors and the goggles were those things that my friends were like, I don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, but my hair, I can't put a ball cap on. So it's like, I got to put something on my head.
Please blame Europe. Chokers.
Chokers? Yeah, definitely don't regret that. I love chokers. I love that silver beaded choker I probably wore way past longer than I should have. But it was, you know, that was a thing. And a really cool thing about that, kind of a side note, was those were kind of fun that, you know, they were $8, $7 a piece, you know, little cheap silver beads around your neck. And if we'd ever get to do like make-a-wish stuff or things like that, I could always give the kids the choker and they thought it was, you know, really special. So cheap little thrill, I guess.
But really it was just a $7 choker. Do you know that one time AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys gave me his skull ring and I was like, is this it? Are we engaged to be married? But now you've just crushed my dream. I realize he probably gave me a $7 skull ring.
And he had
from
a box
store.
Of them in the back that he was passing out. Who's getting a skull ring today? Not you. Yours was definitely different.
Yeah, no. I was
Yours
not
was
the
definitely
make a,
different.
No, I was a make-a-wish to him that day, and now I know it. After years of holding on to that moment. Okay, goatee braids.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck that was. That was, I was bored one day, and my goatee was getting too long, and I took the clippers and just went up the middle, and I was like, all right, I can work with this. Let's see what happens when I bleach them.
That felt like your fashion mantra every day. You would wake up and say, all right, I can work with this. Rat tail.
I never had a rat tail.
You had a rat tail. Would you like me to send you an image after this? You had
a
rat tail.
Was it on the TV Guide when we were doing the throwback to punk rock music and I was doing the rat tail for that? Or was
it? Was like
it
a braid. It was like a long braid that came from the back, the nape of your neck, Chris. And it,
I had
and it,
many long braids that came from back.
Let's go. Let's hair. Move on to those. Braids. Do you regret the braids?
Oh, definitely not. That was that. No way. That's, I mean, to this day, that's one of the things where, you know, I see we had those little pop dolls come out, you know, and everybody's got their pop doll and they all look the same with different color hair, like yellow, red, black and yellow. And then it's like, then you have, you know, crazy hair coming out. So that was kind of, I mean, it was really strange when I cut it because people didn't know who I was. It was like, who's that? Or if people were like, oh yeah, you were in the band, I can always say, yeah, the one with the hair. And, yeah, I got it.
Signature. It was your signature. Also your signature, braces. Regret it, don't regret it.
I mean, I regret that I had to have them.
Oh, but they were for medical purposes?
Yeah, they weren't for fun. Oh, I mean, that was one of those things that I was like, you know what would look cool? What if I do braces? And I said, you know what would look cool? If my teeth weren't like vampire teeth and I didn't have like fangs sticking out here and all this.
Chris, I thought it was for fashion purposes. Okay, not least, dreadlocks.
The dreads? That was early on, and those weren't really even dreads. Those were like twists. And I had to quit because that's when I started putting the braids in, because the dreads, no matter how much I dreaded them, it's like the wax would come out, and by the end of the shows, the hair would be all in my face, and I couldn't see. So I was like, is there a way to keep them in there? And let's do braids.
Okay. And I feel like at one point during that era, Jennifer Aniston had dreadlocks. You were not alone. It was a different time. And so we'll just confirm for our listeners, do you have dreadlocks at this current time?
No.
No, he does not. He does not, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I still have, normal.
Yeah.
Normal hair.
Yeah. Oh God. You're so funny. I didn't expect you to be this funny, Chris Kirkpatrick.
Sorry. Oh, I forgot. I'm supposed to be rebellious.
I wanted to really.
I'm the rebellious one.
Yeah, you're the bad guy. You're the bad boy.
Screw this. I'm out of here. You suck.
We're just going to put that out as a promo if that's okay with you. And
perfect. We got the bad boy on. Screw this. You suck.
really blow it up for us. Thank you. So you mentioned this post NSYNC, but I want to go back because at peak NSYNC, you're in your 20s. There's no social media. Is it sex, drugs, and rock and roll backstage? Like, if I had successfully made my way onto your tour bus, would anyone have hooked up with me?
How old were you?
Let's say I was of age.
Of age? Yeah. I mean, well, hold on. I mean, yeah, maybe. It's possible. Thank God there was no social media, because we did a lot of crazy stuff, crazy stunts. I mean, having fun. I think when you give, you know, five kids the key to the city and say, go nuts, we went nuts and really, you know, kind of had too much fun sometimes. But I think one of our priorities was always the band and the shows and what we were doing. And there was a lot of craziness that went on, a lot of craziness backstage, a lot of, you know, things that I've sworn to take to my grave. But for the most part, it was, you know, it was possible. I mean, you're kind of cute, so, you know, who knows?
I will say,
you might have been able to do a lap dance or something. Who knows?
Oh,
whatever.
Great. Thank you so much. You just made me, at the time, I had one eyebrow and a bowl cut. So you really
perfect. Well, it makes sense. You were a Backstreet Boys fan. So that's.
Oh, wow. Now he's throwing shade. Did NSYNC have the hotter fans? Tell me.
They're all Backstreet Boys fans are hot too. They're all. Okay. Good looking. I mean, you're talking about a pretty big population of human beings here. Yeah. That it's kind of hard to go. I mean, there were some ugly ones, but there's, you know, there's, for the most part, they're, you know, good looking kids. I mean, look at me, for God's sakes. What do you think was coming after me? They weren't like it was like, oh yeah, well, you know what? I really feel strange and weird. I identify with Chris.
Chris, yeah. I was ready to get my braces stuck in your braces anytime.
Lockjaw.
Okay, you mentioned cancel culture. So if social media and cancel culture is a thing in 2001, which member of NSYNC would have been canceled first?
Probably me. I would go with me. Just because it's one of those things where, you know, I say what's on my mind immediately. And, you know, a lot of times I regret it, but it's always off the cuff. It's always instantaneous, you know, action reaction type thing, and you don't sit down and think about everything you're saying or who you're hurting. And, you know, today I think it's a little too much. You know, it's hard to sit back and go, oh, okay, well, I can't say this because I don't want to offend this person, and I can't say this. You know, I think we all need to have a little bit thicker skins. You've got to go out there and experience the world and get the germs so the colds aren't as bad, you know. And you know, that's kind of where we're at. And I'm pretty sure that back then I just would say things and probably say the wrong thing that I didn't mean and spend a week backpedaling and apologizing.
You would have made so many YouTube apology videos.
Oh, every day. I would have had to have probably people that were there just like, okay, Friday, you have to apologize for this, put them out there.
Oh, thank God. This was also the Justin Britney era. And I'm curious what that was like for you. Is she like the girlfriend that you want to hang around with? Is she around too much? Does he change because he's with her?
No. I mean, not really. It wasn't, you know, it was just kind of, as crazy as it sounds, it was just kind of what it was. It's kind of the way it went, because she started on with us really early in our U.S. careers and really early in her U.S. career. And, you know, I remember one of the first things we did with her, it was like, you know, Justin was all giddy and excited because here was this girl that he'd just done the Mickey Mouse Club with. And, you know, they always had a chemistry on there. And then when they started dating, it was just like the next step. So I'm watching like my little brother and his little girlfriend and kind of watching out for them, because even though there wasn't social media, there was still, you know, a huge, huge magnifying glass on everything they did. And that's probably too why, going back a question, why I would be the one that would be canceled, because I was kind of the safety net in that if something got awkward or went wrong, I would say something or do something to kind of, you know, distract or, you know, take away from that. And people would be like, God, he's just really weird and really strange, and not worry about what they were really focused on.
Mm, you were the bad boy and the big brother. You were filling both roles.
I feel this bad boy really cracks me up too. That's funny.
Have you spoken to Britney since then? Do you follow her on Instagram?
I do follow her. I haven't spoken to her in many years. But, you know, I believe that it's, you know, there's a lot with our era in particular that is wrong and needs fixed. You know, I was lucky in that I was an adult when I started the band and when the band was going on. So, you know, I could handle things. I wasn't going through strange changes in my life or not understanding certain things, whereas they were. And you look at, you know, the Aaron Carters and you know, Britney's, mm-hmm. and there needs to be some accountability and people to step up and people that can help and step in and help them and really kind of guide them into the next chapter of their lives. You know, I could have used someone all those partying days. Hey, you know, you're really partying way too much and drinking and doing all these things. And, you know, they're just, it's just like you give them everything and then turn them loose on their own. But then it's like, good luck. And it's
right.
Tough.
Coming down from that, coming out of that, there are only a handful of people who have ever had that experience. Like,
right.
And you bring that up. But in the last few years, people have started to sort of come at Justin for his peripheral role in like the downfall of Janet and Britney. What do you make of that?
The thing about, you know, culture is when you get to the top, there's nowhere for them to go. So let's start to tear them down. And crazy analogy, but look at golf. Like,
yeah,
you see these golfers, you see these young golfers coming out there, and you know, suddenly they don't do something and everybody starts scrutinizing everything they do, and you're like, but they're 18 years old,
right?
You know, what were you doing at 18? You're looking at them as this incredible golfer, as this incredible musician,
yeah,
as this incredible actor, performer, but not as a child. There's too many yes men, too many people around them that just want to be a part of it. So they'll say yes to anything and not care about the backhand that comes after it. You know, all those people and these artists' lives who were, oh, yeah, you should do that. You should do that. When it all hits the fan, they go, whoa, I don't know that person. It's rough.
Mm-hmm. So I know people ask you about an NSYNC reunion every single day, but I feel like we've bonded, CK, so don't bullshit me on this. On a scale of absolutely to never, how likely is it that all five NSYNC members come back together in some way, shape, or form?
I mean, I wouldn't say absolutely, but I'd also wouldn't say never. You know, it's not one of those things that, you know, it's never there. We're all still friends.
Yeah.
We all still joke about things all the time. You know, who knows? I mean, it could happen. It may not happen. But in the end, you know, we were a band of five brothers and enjoyed everything we got to do and the experience. And we know that we have great fans out there that would love for us to do something. And, you know, I think it's a matter of all five of us figuring out a time when, you know what, let's make the band a priority again. And that's not just Justin. That's not just JC. That's not just Lance. That's not just Joey. It's not just me. It's all five of us saying, you know, okay, this is the time. This is when it would work.
I have butterflies in my stomach just hearing that it's not. Is there like an instinct?
No.
He didn't say no, and that's enough for me, everybody. Is there a group chat that you're all on? Are we talking about it on there?
Oh, yeah. No, we're not talking about doing things, but on, you know, the group chat is just fun. The group chat is everything from funny memes or, you know, finding weird instances of things in the band or seeing something with Justin or seeing something with Lance or seeing something with me or whatever and, you know, throwing it to the group or just kind of saying, hey, guys, what are you guys doing? I'm in this town right now. Is anybody here? Let's hang out type of deal. So, you know, there's not, and we still have merch and have, you know, music that gets put on things that we all have to keep in touch with and say, what do you
right.
think of this? Do you agree with this? And, you
know, so
there's definitely friendly banter that still goes on, but that's about it, as far as it gets.
butterflies at the prospect of a reunion, butterflies at the thought of an NSYNC group chat. I mean, that's the greatest shit I've ever heard. So you talked about being a father, and I know you're a husband. Did you marry a fan? Please say yes.
I did not. No, she liked the band. Her sister was definitely more of a fan than she was. If anything, I think she was more of a New Kids. And it's also kind of tough because one thing about us and Backstreet, as you know, you are a testament to, is it was one or the other. And if your sister or your sibling was with one, you went with the other, you know.
Right.
And her sister was a big NSYNC fan, so you know, I don't know if she was a Backstreet fan too, but she just maybe New Kids.
Wow. I mean, clearly now she's a fan. You got her on your side now.
No, she still hates me.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, she's like, please don't ever make sure, tell the guys, you guys don't ever want to do anything yet. You guys sucked. And, you know, it was horrible. It was horrible. The residuals you get from it are miserable. I don't want money or anything.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, she sounds really supportive, really great. I want to get to know the man that you are now, Chris, the husband, the father, in a way that really seems fitting. This is by asking you actual questions from a Twist magazine quiz from the year 2000, okay?
Okay.
These are actual questions they asked pop stars at the time. I want you to answer for yourself now. This is the Twist test with Chris Kirkpatrick. How I describe my style.
Dad bod, dad life.
I absolutely refuse to eat...
Asparagus.
In my fridge, you'll always find...
Gatorade.
My favorite feature on a girl is...
Well, that's tricky because I'm married, so I would say anything my wife has.
Correct answer. One thing that really bugs me is...
Annoying people in general.
Fair. If I were granted one wish, it would be...
That my son grows up to be a great human being.
Oh, Chris, I wish the same thing. I have identical twin 5-year-old boys. They're fucking insane.
When's their birthday?
End of August, 23rd, 2017. Yours?
Okay, he is October 2017.
2 months apart.
I don't know how you do too. We have one and we just got a puppy dog and me and my wife are both like, how do we do this? Like this is the most we could ever imagine. And then our friend shows up with like 5 kids and we're like, nope.
No, Chris, I'm an absolute mess. They're actually locked in the car as I do this interview.
That's as long as you crack a window, it's totally fine.
Yeah, they're fine. I also have, wait for it, a 1-year-old daughter. Her due date was June 2nd, but when I was pregnant with her, I kept saying to my husband, it's our third child. You know, it's gonna be May. I said that shit 20 times during this pregnancy. Finally, I'm like 8.5 months pregnant. He turns to me and he says, why do you keep saying it like that? He didn't know the song, Chris. He didn't know the reference. And I felt like if I hadn't been pregnant, the meme with his third child, like it would have been grounds for divorce. So can I ask you this? When you're going to lay that track down in 99 and, you know, instead of singing, it's going to be me, Justin belts out, it's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
What's the reaction in the room?
That was a Max Martin kind of decision where he said, you know what? It's going to be me sounds too nasally and E-ick. So if you could make it more of a me type of thing, not knowing that would become the meme of April. And every time the end of April rolls around, my inbox and my Facebook and whatever else,
the NSYNC group chat is blowing up.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
No. Yeah.
when you refer to yourself, do you say me or May?
I refer to myself in third person, so I don't say
every
either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. I want to play one last game, and I'll hope you'll play it with May. I have loved you since I was a tween, so we're going to play a game I played as a tween, Never Have I Ever. Now, okay. Chris, I need you to know, on the show, I have a boy band-inspired theme song and boy band-style interludes that set up each segment. Would you do me the honor of singing Never Have I Ever boy band style?
Yeah, that would be like a never have I ever.
Oh, yes. Okay, here's how it works. Now that I have an intro from an actual professional, I'm going to ask you a question. You simply say, I've never or I have. Never have I ever.
This is going to be trouble.
Okay, yeah, you can't lie to me. You can't lie.
Oh,
you
I'm
already
going
told
to.
Me.
No, there are going to be a few lies here. I'm happily married and I have a son to look out for, so there will be some lies.
Okay, great. Good to know. Good to know, everybody. So we're going to play a game and he may or may not lie his way through it.
Never have I ever.
Never have I ever hooked up with a fan.
I knew that was going to be the first question you asked.
Was that predictable?
The minute you said that, you're like, I was like, let me guess. She's going to ask if I hooked up with a fan.
I mean, when you're 27 years old.
I never lie. So I have.
Woo! Never have I ever seen someone in the crowd and gotten them backstage.
Oh, yeah, I have definitely done that.
Never have I ever drawn on my goatee with mascara.
Never.
Tried to date a celebrity.
Not really. I mean, not kind of never. I don't think celebrities didn't want me. I was too weird.
Felt jealous of the girls my bandmate was pulling.
No, never.
Practice my pelvic thrusts in the mirror.
Never. Never. No.
I've practiced my pelvic thrusts in the mirror. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's one I've definitely not done.
Never have I ever lip synced.
Yeah, of course.
I have,
of course. You have, I mean, Top of the Pops, you have to lip sync.
Oh, fair.
There are times where we had no choice.
Okay. Use my celebrity to get reservations, upgrades, or free shit.
Yeah, of course I have. Mm. Yeah.
Given out a fake number.
If I did, maybe it was one time and then you learn your lesson quick that, you know, they're, oh, let me call it right now. And you're like,
damn it. Lastly, lied to me in this game.
Yes.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. And that's how you play Never Have I Ever with Chris Kirkpatrick.
Never have I ever.
Chris, never have I ever felt so satisfied by a guest on this show. You did it for me then. You do it for me now. Thank you for being my phone-a-friend.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And you have dates coming up on the Pop 2000 tour. Everybody should follow you at IMC
Kirkpatrick
for details, yes?
Yep.
And if I come to the tour, will you help fulfill my childhood fantasy and let me backstage?
Well, I'll have to change my never have I ever answers if you do.
Yeah, you would. But we could go back and do a revision. I have an editor. That's okay with me.
Yeah, it'll be weird, really awkward on the tour bus then.
Is there someone I can hook up with?
When I'm
my
like,
husband will absolutely
listen.
Give me a hall pass for a member of O-Town. Just say the word.
Which member?
Is Ashley Parker Angel on tour with you?
No.
Okay, I'll take any of the others.
Are any
of them
usually,
available?
That's usually where I'm looped into when they talk about the band. Is Justin Timberlake there? No. Then any of the others. That's our new band coming out. There's four of us. It's called Any of the Others.
Chris, if I were offered Justin Timberlake as a guest on Phone a Friend, I would take Chris Kirkpatrick every fucking time. Mark my words.
I don't know. He is the cute one. I'm just way funnier.
Way funnier.
I had to
oh
live
my
with
God.
My I was the guy with the personality. Oh, well, you know, he's got a great personality, honey.
Please. And I was the girl with the personality. And this is why I feel like we get along.
That's how I was introduced to my wife's mom. Oh, no, he's got a great personality. She's like, thank God.
Oh, I don't want to have to say goodbye, but I do. And normally I would just say bye, but I think legally required to say.
Bye, bye, bye.
Mm. Yeah. Do you still remember the choreo? Because I do.
Of course I do. I did it this weekend.
Ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, it's
for
a lot stranger
listening.
In a studio.
Yeah.
Doing it like that. Especially on the phone.
Yeah, dancing on an audio medium is a really powerful thing, Chris. I'm sure my audience really enjoyed that.
You crushed it.
Thank you.
From what I heard.
It was flawless.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, 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 Chris. Thank you.
Bye, bye. Bye.
Bye, 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 Chris Kirkpatrick. By the way, I did do the full choreo for Bye, Bye, Bye on Zoom with the founding father of NSYNC. Do you know how satisfying that was to my 16-year-old self? I hadn't done it in 20 years.
But there I was, picking up the moves like it was 2003. I'm actually realizing now that I'm slowly checking off the list of boy band members that I've been desperate to meet since I had a bowl cut and a unibrow and Teen Beat magazines like wedged under my mattresses. So I've met Nick Carter, check. We did a big interview together. I've technically met all of the Backstreet Boys. I have interviewed them all on multiple occasions. I know. Is there a luckier woman on earth? I don't think so. I have met New Kids on the Block. I met JC Chazet at a MTV after party, but I have never met Joey Fatone, never met Lance Bass, never met Justin Timberlake. So Phone a Friend season two can't come fast enough. And that's our mid-season banger. We said yes, and to all of it, to all of it, to the award shows, to the Scandinavian sleep method, to members of NSYNC, to Maddie Matheson. We said no to nobody. Now you just have to say yes and to this week. I am saying yes and to going to Palm Springs for a photo shoot with my entire family, children included, which is terrifying. I had a Zoom call yesterday where I was trying to explain to the production team, like, my children are not professionals. They are not models. They could have complete and utter meltdowns, like ruining the shoot for everyone. And the team was like, okay. So they've been prepared, but there's no telling how it's going to go. I will update you when we talk next Thursday. Have a great week, Jesse's friends. I mean, phonies, obviously phonies. Mwah! Talk next Thursday. Bye.
Phone a Friend was created by our mommy, Jessie Cruikshank. The executive producers are Jessie Cruikshank and Jason Yanba. The technical producer is Rob Parrott. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Sound Clash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us, Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.